done something that I was going to say you're not going to approve of it. Well, you're definitely not going to understand it. You might also disapprove of it, but you're not going to. Have you got any idea what I might be talking about that you would? You're just not going to understand it.
Well, I'm not going to understand it. There are many things that I don't understand, to be honest.
So we're in September.
Yeah.
It's just. Yeah. I've ordered my Christmas tree.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. No, see, that doesn't quite compute for me. So you've ordered it. Do you not just go and buy one? They're everywhere.
I put a deposit. No, but they're not. Well,
you have to reserve people, it, do you?
Well, not normally, but for people outside of the UK listening to this, there's been lots of talk of shortages.
Oh, God.
Right?
The shortages of everything at the moment. People love some to call it. You're a panic buyer, aren't you? That's you.
No, well, I'm just...
You're buying a Christmas tree in September. You must be a panic buyer.
No, it hasn't been delivered. I don't have it in my garden in September. I've just... Basically, what it is, again, for those outside of the UK, there's been a lot of talk at the moment. You probably read about it. The petrol shortage. Mm. I haven't run out and desperately tried to fill up.
Hang on, I'm going to jump in here and say I don't think people outside of the UK have read about our petrol shortage.
I think they might have done.
I don't think this is making news in America. I'm afraid.
Isn't it quite a big thing?
Because there isn't really a petrol shortage. It was a little bit of a problem, and then everybody's panic bought the petrol. So now there's a shortage because people, because 10 petrol stations had to close or something like that. Anyway, it got hyped. So it's not even really a thing. It's sort of, it was just the panic buying nature of people. It's become a thing.
If you're listening outside of the UK and you've heard about the petrol shortage, please, and then and with Brexit and also the shortage of lorry drivers, there's talk there'll be shortage of Christmas presents and Christmas food and turkeys. It's not loo roll, as in during the pandemic when everyone bought 60, 70 rolls of loo roll. But so no, I haven't panic bought. I know people who are stocking up for Christmas already, and I'm talking turkeys. I cannot have Christmas without it. You can, and one year I actually posted a Christmas tree to you.
You did? Right? I had a little baby Christmas tree on my table. Yes, it was lovely.
Complete with lights, complete with decorations. Baubles. So I had to resort to posting you a Christmas tree. Yeah. The one thing I cannot, especially when I've got young children, I cannot have Christmas without a tree. My friend told me that the place where we get the trees from, last Saturday, she sold 50. 50 in one day.
Wow.
50. And so just to make sure I've reserved a tree, just a little deposit, I've reserved a tree. Please, someone listening, tell me you would also do this for the sake of your family's Christmas.
Well, I don't understand at all. So you were right on that one. I don't understand. Absolute madness.
I knew I'd get that look. I just knew there'd be that look and you'd be like, what are you doing, silly woman?
It's very organised. Very impressed with the organisation work. That's great.
Well, so am I. I was actually very impressed with how organised. And I've also booked something for fireworks. That's November, isn't it? Yes. So I've been quite organised. I don't know why I've suddenly become so... You wait till baby Fernando / Roger is a little bit older and you'll be saying, I need a Christmas tree. All these things are going to happen.
No, I get that. I get that. I think that's fair enough. I definitely have a Christmas tree. Not for him this year. He's only one. But I will have a Christmas tree for him, I think, probably from next year, maybe. Maybe not even next year, too. Barely enough.
Okay.
When it's necessary.
Okay. When it's necessary. So therefore, let me ask you this. When is he going to have his first birthday party? Are you telling me he's going to have it when he's 4 or 5 at school, or are you going to go early?
No,
it's one.
Well, party, I think, is a stretch. I don't think we'll do a party until he's at school, but probably some sort of birthday thing from next year. We're not doing anything this year. He's one.
You have to do the cake smash.
Yeah, I know you've said this.
Well, you have to do this. It's a lot of fun. If only
we'll
for
do
the parents,
something.
It's
we'll
a
do
lot of fun.
I might get one balloon. And
one balloon.
We'll probably one get balloon. Him something.
Why one balloon?
Just one a balloon.
Who has one balloon?
Well, it could be the number one.
You can't even buy one balloon.
Yeah, you can.
You've got to have
one.
More than. Oh, right. See, I've got to start sending you. I'm going to just send you a big box of balloons, right? Come on. I want baby Fernando to have lots of balloons and a cake that he's going to put his head in for his first birthday.
Okay.
Sound good?
Okay. We could do the cake thing. Okay. We would do the cake.
Yeah,
thing,
definitely. It's a lot of. It's only fun for the parents. Yeah. But it's fun.
Exactly. I think it's all for me, isn't it? This. Well, we'll do. Yeah. So we'll do something.
And hang on. When does his birthday fall in terms of tennis tournaments? I judge everything on the tennis calendar. When people say, "Oh, when does term finish?" I have to think about which tournament falls. So what are we looking at?
Yeah, he's slightly inconvenient in that he's towards the end of the season, which is particularly busy. But I believe this year my schedule's worked out perfectly because I believe he falls in during next gen, which I'm not doing for the first time since it started. And I'm actually quite devastated about it because, as we discussed last week, the lineup for next gen is awesome. But I won't be doing it, and it will be Little Man's birthday. But either side of that, particularly busy with Paris and Turin and then Davis Cup. So, yeah, there we go.
I will raise you awkwardness in the tennis calendar. Yeah. My two were born 5 days before Wimbledon.
Yeah, see, that's bad planning. You boast about your planning, and that is shocking planning.
Well,
we tried to plan it ourselves. We were like, I think at the end of the season would be a good time because he came 3 weeks early. So he was due at the end of the season. We were thinking that would be an ideal time. So, so annoyingly, he came a little bit early, but otherwise he would have, because when I was working last year, my plan was to work out the season and then have the baby, but I had to cut it a little bit short, unfortunately.
Well, initially, when I found out I was pregnant and I believed there to be one baby in there, that baby was due to be born in that wonderful week after Wimbledon. You know, when everyone goes on holiday or gets married. When you got married.
Oh, so your planning was good.
That would have been perfect. But then it turns out there was two. Then they come a month early. And then it's smack bang now sort of Eastbourne.
Okay, I take back my criticism of your planning. Because that's not bad.
I tried. Now, something we were talking about last week, with planning in mind, but not giving birth and planning, was Emma Raducanu's next move, because last week there was no next move, and last time we spoke there was no next move and there was a coach, and this week there is no coach and there is a next move.
Well, yes, so the next move, there was a homecoming event in London for her and the other Grand Slam champions, because Britain won 4 Grand Slam titles, which was fairly impressive, a nice haul.
Amazing.
And then it was the Bond premiere, of course, red carpeting last night.
Oh, yes, I saw the pictures.
Yeah.
Wow.
Slumming it with that bunch. Fair enough. And then when she gets round to it, she's got to find a new coach.
So Andrew Richardson was the very calm figure in the box. I didn't know whether he looked terrified or calm. I couldn't actually, because I don't know him. So I couldn't figure out through the whole of the run whether he was terrified. But, you know, it was probably, to be honest, it was probably a mixture of both, especially as the rounds went on. But he was very calm / very terrified. But their arrangement wasn't it, that it was just for that little chunk in America. Was that right?
Yeah, I think it was supposed to be a 6-week block, which then turned into an 8-week block because she did very well.
Yeah.
So it was just the States. So she started working with him sort of post-Wimbledon and was just going to do that US Open series. So she played, I think it was she play in Chicago? Oh, I can't remember now. And then the run through to the US Open. So it was just the option to renew with him. But don't know. I mean, whether he wanted to renew or not, whether he would have been up for doing tour life week in and week out, who knows? I mean, you can't say it didn't go well. So
the trial, that was really good. Do you remember with Nicholas Massou and Dominic Thiem, their trial was at Indian Wells when he won it, and we were like, okay, so that worked out well.
But then what you would normally expect is for them to continue working together, which they did. Thiem and Massou worked together for a long time. But I think some people would be very surprised that she decided not to continue on with Andrew Richardson. The thing was, is that it wasn't really a trial period. They never really said it was a trial period like Thiem and Massou. Right. It was just I need somebody to be with me for this time. She knows him well. As you say, he's a very, very calm person. You know, she'd been completely in craziness, madness through the grass court season, and it had caught up with her a little bit. And she thought that he's the guy to sort of help with that. And look, he must have done an absolutely fantastic job. Yeah, that's not an easy job to do. So, yeah, I've got no idea how he feels about it. He might be perfectly happy. He might, you just don't know. But they're not going to work together anymore. She said that she feels that she needs to work with somebody with more tour experience.
Which is fair enough, right? I mean, that's absolutely fair enough because she's going into the unknown. It's not as though she's a player who's been around working on the tour. Oh, I won a Grand Slam. Most of these places she goes, she'll be going to for the first time. She is totally new to these places. So I sort of see her reasoning that she would like someone ideally that has the experience of being on the tour, because you don't want two people sort of going into the unknown.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, is people forget that she has not been on the tour. She's not a tour player. She's not.
That's crazy.
She's not Grand Slam champion. She's not done it. She's played a few events. That's what she's done. It is so ridiculous. Like, in terms of what the job is week in, week out, she's not done it. She doesn't know yet. You know, she's played some big tournaments and she's propelled herself up the rankings. She's done, you know, beyond ridiculously extraordinarily well. But there is a whole life that goes with being a tennis player. You know, she has played tennis to the highest level and won these tournaments. But has she been a tennis player week in, week out, month after month, had the ups and the downs? Because every single player, even if you're Serena Williams with 23 Grand Slams, you have ups, you have downs, you have difficult times. Even Federer, Djokovic, everybody has had those things to ride out. And yeah, so a lot of exciting times ahead for her. And it'll be interesting to see who she calls up to be by her side. There's been a lot of chat from, you know, within Britain about Darren Cahill, because he's just split with Halep. Now, I think that's sort of a convenient thing, as in it was quite a... Look, she absolutely could sign on with Cahill. You know, whether he'd be up for it or not, I've got no idea. And, you know, he's a very successful coach. I think he's clearly somebody filled with positivity, and his philosophy is quite clear, because we've got the benefit of all of those on-court coaching sessions with Halep back when on-court coaching was a thing. So, you know, you sort of know what you'd be getting with Cahill. But I don't know with Cahill whether he delivers that sort of week in, week out tour experience that she's sort of looking for, somebody to be by her side. And as you say, experience everything with her, but somebody with some expertise. Because, you know, when he's at the bigger tournaments at Slams, he's got media commitments to do as well. So he's not necessarily always there. Look, he's always there for practices and matches. He's not going to be say, sorry, I can't do your match, Simona. I'm commentating on Muguruza over there. My bad. He's not going to miss anything, but you know, it's everything else that goes with it, isn't it? It's dinners and it's, you know, that sort of team vibe. So, yeah, I'm not really sure whether he would be the right fit. As I say, it's sort of an obvious one just because of the timing of his split with Simona and her split with Andrew Richardson. But there are plenty of other coaches that could do a fantastic job.
And it's so interesting, this next move, and everyone's going to be, because we should add that she was awarded a wild card into Indian Wells.
Yes.
I mean, I would take a wild card into Indian Wells. Well, you know me, I'd sell tickets just to be at Indian Wells. It is my favourite tournament. Why would you not go there? And you said initially, didn't you, that it might be a good thing for her to get back out of the UK. Yeah, this is her home and everything, but just to, and look, she's known around the world. I mean, it's still crazy to say these type of things, but maybe it's quite good for her to get back on the road. And isn't she, I believe she's still in with a chance of qualifying for the WTA finals in Mexico.
Yeah, I mean, she'd have to do really well in Indian Wells. I don't know what she'd have to do.
Just won the US Open.
Yeah, exactly. So she could, absolutely she could. Yes, so I think, yeah, I mean, she's also entered in a couple of other events as well, I believe, Moscow as well. So whether she'll just sort of keep playing through to the back end of the year or whether she'll have a bit of a rest, just not really sure. I'm sure she's just entering them, so she's got the option. Seems like she's going to go to Indian Wells. And yeah, I mean, why not? If she wins that, then you know, she might be reaching Guadalajara, especially when it looks like there's nothing official from Barty, but it looks like Barty's not going to play. She's gone back to Australia and she's not playing Indian Wells. It feels like her season's done. You know, so you know, as is always the way, you know, maybe a spot or two does become available. So yeah, very exciting.
I think you're right. It was the way it happened. There was the confirmation that Raducanu wouldn't be continuing on with Andrew Richardson. We then had the Simona Halep wedding, which Darren Cahill was at, and the pictures and Simona Halep looked fabulous. And then very soon after the wedding, there was the announcement that they were not going to be working together and they've achieved so much together. So
it did sort of look like they'd had that discussion at the wedding, didn't it? Just with the timings, it was like, you can imagine, you know, when Halep, when the bride does the rounds of the table, just come and sit down and be like, now,
right,
Darren. Just have a quick chat and then let's carry on.
Yeah. Just thinking. Excellent. Right. Okay. We've got the statements. Lovely. Maybe it's one of those things. It probably was they decided on before, but they knew it would take up a lot of headlines and the wedding is the big thing and the focus. Maybe it's one of those, right, let's have the wedding. And he goes back into quarantine, 2 weeks in a hotel to get back home. And then the statement comes out and everyone's like, wow. Because I imagine to any coach, Emma Raducanu, it's tempting, very, very tempting to take that talent, and it's still raw to a big degree. She's already won a Grand Slam. The world is at her feet. The eyes are upon her. So I can imagine it's very, very tempting. But you've got to think as a coach, because if she, I don't know her exact requirements, but I imagine rather than one of the players who's a bit older that says, oh, I need a bit of consulting and maybe you'll turn up for certain Masters and Grand Slams, but you don't have to be here. I imagine at her age, you would think she'd want someone more kind of around the clock, because as we go back to, this is all really new. So she doesn't want someone sort of popping up at six tournaments. She wants someone almost sort of guiding her through this in the early stages.
Maybe, yeah. I could see that being a possibility. Yeah. It's difficult to know really what she actually wants. She said tour experience, so you know, people will think about the big name coaches. You know, she worked with Nigel Sears for a long time, and you know, Darren Cahill is maybe in a similar bracket in terms of level of experience, the years and years out on tour. Patrick Mouratoglou, all of these big flashy names, but you know, she was working with Nigel, so she had that. And so I don't think that might be what she's looking for. She's probably, as I say, she's probably looking for somebody who's a bit more sort of, you know, is living the life on the tour a little bit low key. She doesn't need that sort of flashiness. Yeah. Look, she might go for it. Like, fine. Great. I've got no idea. I've got no intel here, people.
I also think everyone talks about the super coaches, which are normally your former players, and then there's a level below that of your Cahills and the Wim Fossetts, etc. But I think sometimes people assume that you have to have played at a level, well, that's what the super coaches are, the ones who have been there, seen it, done it. But I just get the feeling, look, and you've worked with different coaches, that's not always the case. So we look at football, Arsene Wenger and Jose Mourinho, pretty rubbish footballers, but look at what they have achieved at the game. Do you see what
of
I mean?
Course,
you don't always have to have that. You don't have to have won a Grand Slam to be an extraordinary coach. I think sometimes you assume, well, of course you'd put her with this person or that person because she needs this or that person. But look at Tom Hill with Maria Sakkari. Mm. You know, she's just broken into the top 10, which is the first time Greece has had a male and a female player in the top 10. So it's just incredible. I imagine, and again, you could correct me on this, but surely it's about the relationship, because I don't want to be travelling week in, week out. They might have won 10 Grand Slam titles, but if they're no fun at dinner or at training or sitting in a car or sitting on a plane with, I don't know, that would really get to me. I just think we put these big names in the frame, but look at these other coaches who are doing really well and don't necessarily have the tennis pedigree.
Well, yeah, and look, she's proven that she can win a slam. She knows the tennis. When she says tour experience, people don't realise the majority of your day is living life on the tour, not on the tennis court. She's got the tennis court down. She gets that.
Yeah,
you can see
how
she plays. What she doesn't know yet, she doesn't know how she's going to fare with the tour life off the court. And you know, you want somebody, okay, you don't want somebody similar in age. You don't want somebody who's 18 years old, but somebody younger that you can connect with a little bit more. Because as much as, you know, coaches can be, you know, really fantastic, it is difficult when you're a teenage girl traveling with a 50-year-old man. I did it. It's hard. It's not, you know, it's difficult. Yeah, I mean, if you look at somebody like, you know, when Osaka started working with Sasha Bajin. Now, Sasha Bajin had no sort of coaching achievements of the level that he then went on to with Osaka. But no, he did have tour experience. He'd been on the tour as a hitter. He had lived it week in, week out. He liked the life. He understood how everything worked. And that's perfect, because Osaka could sort of take care of the tennis stuff a lot of the time, as in he clearly coached her and helped her with her game. But ultimately, he wasn't somebody like a Cahill or somebody coming in saying, this works, execute, off you go. Somebody like that, that's sort of who I think. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a much sort of more low key name than the big flashy ones. I would be more surprised if it was somebody flashy, to be honest. She's made strong decisions so far. I mean, a lot of people were questioning why she would have split with Nige after doing so well at Wimbledon and through the grass court season. Well, turned out that it was clearly a good decision for her, or at least didn't do anything. I mean, maybe she would have done exactly the same if she'd been with Nige the US Open series. Who knows? Nigel Sears I'm talking about. But either way, didn't do her any harm. So she's clearly, very in control. So I'm sure she knows what she's looking for, and she will have her agency on the case.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
I want to go back to Maria Sakkari if I can, because into the top 10, reached the final in Ostrava, but it was her comments afterwards. She said, and I think this is quite interesting, because we talk about Emma Raducanu at the age she is, being a teenager, being a Grand Slam champion. Maria Sakkari is, 26. Yeah. And she said, it almost means more than if I'd done it at 20, because it shows that there were people who believed in me when maybe others didn't. And it's almost... And you saw people like Angelique Kerber got the success a little bit later. But Maria Sakkari said she feels it means more to her to have worked and to have done it at the age of 26 than if she had broken into the top 10 as a 19, 20-year-old.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal achievement. I have to say that I think in at least 3 pods I've called Maria Sakkari a top 10 player, because I just sort of thought she was.
I know what you mean.
I knew that she wasn't a top 10 player. But in my head, she's a top 10 player because she's in the best 10 in the world. Like, as in, if I were to name the 10 best players in the world, she was in there.
Yeah.
She wasn't officially ranked in the top 10. But ultimately, I was like, well, I mean, she's a top 10er in my mind. So, So when that came up, I was like, oh, yeah, she's not been in the top 10. Well, she isn't. Oh, there we go. She is now. I knew it was coming. It's been ages, I think. I feel like it's been all year I've thought of her as a top 10 player.
Well, is that like me thinking that Borna Coric is about 26 and he's still only 24 because he's been around? I think every year I'm going, is he that? Okay, fine. That's a similar case for me.
Yeah,
he's only 24.
Yeah, like we want to get an official investigation into how Auger Aliassime is still qualifying for next gen. Like that doesn't make any sense.
There's some people you just think, well, hang on a second. And you're right, Sakkari, you think, well, of course she's top 10. No, she's top 10 now, but she hasn't been. But she's been a fixture. And it just, it goes back to it, doesn't it? It's the hard work. It's people believing you. Maybe when others thought, well, she's not going to do it or she'll be a good player. But, and I think maybe in life as well, the older you are, I don't know whether it's just you've got more life experience and there's been more lows. Whereas when you're 18, realistically, how many low lows are you going to have at 18? Probably not as many as when you're 26 and you've suffered, whether it's been defeats or in life. So I can kind of get that maybe things you earn later in life mean a little bit more.
Yeah, I think that's true. And we've seen it the other side. Somebody like a Serena or Rafa, you know, players that have been winning the title since they've been teenagers, ultimately, they've said that it gets harder, doesn't it? Because you get more nerves. It means more because you realise what you're doing. It's much better when you're younger. You sort of close your eyes and have a swing, and it all just happens.
Well, it's like Have you seen it on ski slopes? You get those like 3-year-olds without ski poles and they fly past you. And you're thinking, you've got to be kidding me. Because they've got no fear.
Yeah, but also it's they don't have far to fall. That's the thing, is they don't have, they're so tiny. They don't have far to fall. And then when you're bigger and more experienced, there's more on the line. Like it just, it is, it, it's worth more, I think. So I can totally understand what she's saying. But I do sort of feel sorry for her because I saw the announcement on social media of her being top 10. And as I say, my response was merely to shrug because I was like, well, she's been in the top 10 for me for the last 6 months. So I don't know. I mean, the official rankings are finally catching up. But so I feel really bad because there should be more fanfare about it where I'm like, yeah, sure, cool, whatever.
Well, hopefully those closer to her did a bit of a fanfare. They didn't just shrug. Go, all right, I thought you already were one. Thanks, Mum. Great, thanks. So hopefully there's a bit more of a she's done it. But I think it's amazing. I think just even this year, seeing what she's done and the steps that she's made and the progress that she's made, I think, look, I've never interviewed Maria Sakkari, but she always seems very open and lovely. And that relationship with Tom, it works, doesn't it? They just seem to have a very good, easy relationship. But again, it takes all sorts. Some people need a super coach. Some people need the name next to them. Some people need the most, I imagine, expensive coach out there. Because it's like with anything, if you think the more you pay, the better it is, whether it be a, I don't know, pair of shoes, handbag, car, whatever, the more you pay, the better it is, which some people live by. And for others, it's just what works for them. And it might be something a bit cheaper.
Yeah. And then you look at, like you were saying, you look at Tom Hill, the work he's done with Sakkari. He's never taken anyone to the top 10 before, and he has now. So, yeah, it's huge. I mean, it's been they've been together a long time now. It feels like a long time anyway. You know, and from, you know, 20 something, I think she would have been about 20 something when they started working together, to the top 10. Yeah. That is a tough, tough journey to go on. I mean, she's absolutely phenomenal, but what a great job done by him. So another great British tennis coach.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, our listeners in America might be able to put more flesh on this, but did you even know, aside from the fact that we do on our social media, if I hadn't looked at social media, I would not have known that the Labour Cup was taking place.
Oh, yes. Well, we talked about it last week, so I did know it was happening because we were mentioning it. Yes, I did know that it was happening. I did watch bits of it.
Did you watch bits of it?
I did watch bits of it. It's a very busy time sports-wise. I mean, it's obviously based on the Ryder Cup, and the Ryder Cup was on at the same time. It was actually, I think it was even more one-sided than the Ryder Cup, which was definitely a feat.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's difficult, isn't it? It's a new event. It does take a little bit of time to bed in. I don't think that it has had, for me, I don't think that it has had the same impact as the Next Gen has.
Okay.
So for me, the Next Gen is another new event. It's been around for a few years. I think that it has far surpassed anyone's expectations. Yeah. I think even the ATP, when they set it up, it's gone from strength to absolute madness this year. I mean, honestly, the semifinals in the Next Gen could be semifinals in a Grand Slam. It's bonkers.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, the combination of trying out the different rules, which have been adopted by the ATP Tour as well. So whether it was the shot clock or the free movement in the crowd, you know, these things have been picked up by the ATP Tour. So there's a real link there.
Yeah.
There's a reason for it. It's had a great time in the season. You know, all of it, it just, for me, has really, really worked well. And with the Labour Cup, I feel like there's so much that works. A lot of it is great. I mean, I love the team. The team vibe, of course, you know, we do have other team events though. We have ATP Cup, we have Davis Cup, we have Billie Jean King Cup. And we have Hopman Cup coming back, don't we? We have Hopman Cup coming back.
Yeah, wow.
So it's just, I feel like the Labour Cup has been very successful. Has it sort of punched through in the way that Next Gen has? I don't think so.
So how does it punch through? Does it need... People are talking about this on social media. Does it need to change its format or its style? Does it need to add women into the mix? Because at the moment it's an all-male event. So with that, do we need to get rid of Team Europe and Team World and just have, I don't know, Team Macaron, Team Borg? You know, what could... Because the next gen came in and I think it was so different in terms of the scoring and the shot clock. And it was so, it felt so different. It really grasped the imagination. And you were looking at the stars of the future. Here, you've got a bit of a mishmash. Yes, you've got the big guys. And then you might have some sort of not so big guys. And it, and Roger Federer obviously couldn't play. And I think there was a post from Nadal on social media saying, hey, Roger, how about doubles next year? And we know Roger Federer is heavily involved in it. So he turned up and did a little bit of waving and that went down very well. But what is there one thing you could see? As I say, is it adding women? Is it just getting scrapping Team Europe and Team World? What do you think would get it to punch through on what is a very, very already congested tennis calendar?
I love the Team Europe and Team World thing. I think that makes complete sense.
Yeah.
As I say, I think a lot about it really, really works. I love the team benches and, you know, I enjoy watching it. It's just more about, I suppose, what it means. I do think that it's an obvious thing. I know a lot of people have been talking about it with bringing women in to the format. And I do think that's quite an obvious thing because it's one of tennis's biggest strengths is that we have the women on the same platform at so many events. And that is not usual. It's very, very rare in other sports, even when, you know, the women are so strong. But, you know, women's tennis is the biggest sport in the world. As you say, it has the superstars, the multi-million pound investments. It brings so, so much. So, yeah, it seems like an obvious way to make it slightly just a bit more unique, maybe a bit more intriguing, but I don't know whether that would whether it would do it or not. I don't know. I think maybe it's just a bit of time, to be honest, because I think year on year I have felt more and more connected to it, sure, and I just think that it's a little bit of time bedding in. I don't really have a massive solution. I think it's a great event. I feel very positively about it. As I say, I really enjoy watching it. It's just about that meaning to it. You know, when you've got, you know, you have other players, some like Hubert Hurkacz is winning a tournament at the same time because he won in Metz, I think it was. Yeah, so it's very difficult when you have players choosing to play elsewhere or, you know, it just becomes difficult because there's other stuff on at the same
time. I still don't think it's a priority for people. I think that's it, isn't it? When you look at a Grand Slam, that's a priority, whether you're a tennis...
It's a priority for some people. I mean, it's a huge priority for Kyrgios, and there are others. It would be a priority for Federer, of course, you know.
And I think for the watching...
I think it is.
I think it's... Yeah, I think it... But it needs to maybe be more of a priority. So if there was the US Open, people would... And look, there was the clash with the Ryder Cup this year that really didn't help. But from my point of view, I was working on a show that involved the Ryder Cup. We had a big boxing fight with Anthony Joshua and football. So that really sort of consumed me. So I wasn't able to watch it. Although I think I would have really enjoyed watching it. It was almost my sort of stepping back from tennis, almost a bit of a breather. Do you see what I mean? And I'm just trying to think if I hadn't been doing this other work on this other show, whether I'd have watched it. And I'm not sure I'd have gone out in search of it. I like seeing the little clips on social media and there's always some fun stuff from it. But for me, it's sort of not a priority. Whereas even if I wasn't working on it, searching out Indian Wells, obviously the Grand Slams, Billie Jean King Cup Finals, Tour Finals would be a priority. So I think it's... But as I say, I love it. When I see the bits on social media, I love it and it's fun. But I'm not sure what it means in the grand scheme of things. I think for me, that's where it's... I think it's a lot of fun, but I'm not sure the meaning of it. See what I mean?
Yeah, and I think also it's difficult because we're from a nation where, you know, we don't have anyone in it. So,
absolutely.
For example, the show that you're working on, you know, you've got a British boxer boxing. Yes. You've got
British Formula One driver competing in the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, you've got exactly football, Brits and Formula One, Brits and Ryder Cup. So in terms of this, I wonder what it'd be like in the States. I mean, maybe our American listeners can tell us how it's gone over there, or if you're from, you know, the European countries, and, you know, if you're from Norway, You're in Europe, yeah. And you've got Casper Ruud playing for the first time. Were you really sort of getting behind it or what? So that I think maybe that does put a little bit of a different flavour on it. But look, I think it's really positive. As I say, I actively put it on. I watched a lot of some bits of it. And, you know, I very much enjoyed it as entertainment. But in terms of, yeah, that feeling of meaning. At the moment, it is growing, though. I think year on year, it is growing for me. So maybe it's just something that in 5 years, look, it doesn't have the luxury that Ryder Cup has and all these other, you know, Wimbledon. These things have been around for hundreds of years.
You have to start somewhere, right? You have to build
of course you do.
A history. You have to build a past. You have to...
Of course you do. And I think the thing with the next gen, maybe the reason that's punched through and that really has meaning is because it is sort of the pinnacle. It's something that all of those players are fighting for through the year. And to get to next gen, okay, I understand that maybe this season's field is almost too strong, but you know, and we have had players that have qualified for the tour finals and haven't been able to play in next gen, and they've chosen that. And Sinner is saying he's trying to get to the tour finals in Turin, and he probably wouldn't play Milan. But you know, with those exceptions, it really does feel like the pinnacle of the year for those players to go and win that title. And we've seen what the winners have gone on to achieve. It's been phenomenal.
And I think also we're looking for the next generation. So the next gen is about the stars of the future. And we've spent so long and now we're starting to see that changing of the guard. But who's going to replace? Who's the next Federer or Djokovic, Murray, etc.? Except we've been desperately looking for the players to take that mantle on, to keep the game up there, to take it to that next generation. So I think the meaning for me of next gen is seeing those guys, as you say, they at the start of the year. I remember one year Francis Tiafoe saying, yep, it's I really want to qualify for next gen. That's my aim. They have an aim. They have their tour finals and it's following their progress. So you follow their progress through the year and then you watch them and you're looking for the next stars. You're looking for the next generation. And again, I think for Laver Cup, I think it's a hell of a lot of fun, but I just the meaning for, I don't know what it means. Like Team Europe winning, well done. I really enjoy it. When I have chance to watch it, I enjoy it. But for me, there's no kind of like, what's the end game? What's the end game of the Laver Cup? It's, I don't want to call it an exhibition, but it kind of is in many ways, because there is a little bit of exhibition stuff there, the stuff in the bit. I think it's a hell of a lot of fun. But for me, again, I'm not sure, you know, what does Team Europe beating Team World mean? And maybe I just should stop looking for a meaning and enjoy it as just fun. It's what it is. So have you got your rota roster? Do you say rota or roster, firstly?
We've had this before. We had a whole pod, not a whole pod, we had a whole section
of
pod.
Did we have a whole pod?
If rota, we had a whole pod versus roster.
And what did you say?
The roster.
There's been so many of these pods that I don't remember.
True.
Right. Okay.
This is the 149th. I don't know which one it was in. I'd have to do a lot of listening to.
When do we celebrate? Do we have a? Or you'll be like with Maria's. You'll be like with Maria Sakkari. You'll be like, yeah, whatever. I thought we'd done a few.
150. We can celebrate a 150. Okay. We forgot the 100, didn't we? We were a bit late.
Yeah,
we got like 103, and we were like,
go on. Remind me, rota roster. What's it mean?
So roster is the list of people that you select from. So a football team has a roster of. Well, no, the football team's not ideal.
Just
but
as a squad,
team has
it?
A roster of 22.
Squad
but it's America, an American
roster
name.
Is American word.
Okay,
yeah.
So you have an NFL roster, right? You have your 50 players that are on the roster, and you select from the roster. So for our work, we have a roster of people that are in for the week, and then you are put into a rota, which is your times and shifts. You're selected into your rota.
As we're not American, I would say I just say rota, because I think roster's an American word that I
we don't need
use.
Roster, because you've just got your you got your rota for Indian Wells. There's none. The roster is irrelevant.
And it's just a list of people. It's not roster. Yeah, it's just a list of people.
You don't need roster at all. It's just the rota. You've got the rota.
I have my rota. I have my hours, and I looked at my hours and I thought, oh. Because again, we're remotely covering, as so much of our work is really still, because you know COVID is still out there, and so we're going through the night most nights. Is that the same for you? Through the night most night?
Yeah, pretty much. I think I'm on the earlier shift,
ooh.
But there's no such thing as early shift in when it comes to Indie Worlds. But earlier shift,
actually, so am
on my rota.
Oh, this could work because I'm due to do matches 1, 3, and 5.
Okay.
So, cool. But you do just a chunk, don't you? It never works.
We could.
It never works.
I think it's going to work this time. I'm telling you. Really? Prepping. Well, I'm prepping.
I don't know.
I'm telling everybody it's going
to
work.
But to be honest, if I'm working 7 p.m. till 5 a.m., coming home, sleeping, getting up, getting 2 6-year-olds dressed in the right clothes to take the right things to school, coming back, I'm not sure I'll be in a fit state to record anything, to be honest, during Indian
Wells. Well, it could be fun then. Hold tight.
Would you like me to order your Christmas tree in the meantime? It's just a deposit. Then you'll have a tree and get your little one.
I don't want a tree. I've got no room for a tree.
What do you mean you've got no room for a tree?
Well, that's exactly what I just said.
Everyone has room for a Christmas tree.
I love Christmas. I'm going to say I'll pop my lights up.
Well, it's...